At 7:07, we have a mostly cloudy sky, 61 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our forecast is calling for it to be partly to mostly sunny today, with a slight chance for isolated showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon and a high around 81. And in the news this morning, the Atlantic Fire Department responded to a reported residential fire last night at around 8:40 p.m. Crews were called to 1307 1/2 Locust Street, and when they arrived, it determined that a mattress in one of the apartments at that location was on fire. They quickly extinguished the flames, pulled the mattress outside, and began to ventilate the house. Medevac ambulance also responded to the scene, but there were no injuries reported. Not long after crews left, just after 9 p.m., they were called back because the smoldering mattress rekindled and began to start the dry grass on fire. The fire trucks were back in the station by around 9:20. Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese said the fire began with a carelessly discarded cigarette. A woman who was sleeping in the apartment was awoken by a neighbor and was able to escape. Damage to the apartment was described as minimal. The State Department of Human Services says a resident of the Glenwood Resource Center swallowed 3 batteries and had to be treated at a hospital. The agency on Thursday said it agreed to pay a $2,000 state fine because of the incident, which happened June the 2nd at the facility for people with intellectual disabilities. The resident was treated at a hospital before being released a few days later. Following the incident, the center notified the Iowa Department of Inspections and Appeals about the matter and submitted a self-correction plan. The agency Thursday cited Glenwood for failing to provide required supervision as specified in the resident's individual service plan. The Iowa Court of Appeals has affirmed the first-degree murder conviction of a Glenwood man, 38-year-old Jason Curtis from Glenwood. The Nonpareil reports the Des Moines-based court denied an appeal of a conviction by Curtis, who was convicted after a jury trial in February of last year in connection with the death of his 5-month-old son. His son Jackson died July the 14th, 2011, as the result of head injuries at the family's home in Glenwood. In September of 2013, 4th District Court Judge Mark Evaloff sentenced Curtis to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He appealed, which led to this past Wednesday's decision. Pottawatomie County Attorney Matt Wilbur has said he expects that Curtis will seek to have the appeal court's decision overturned. A Clarinda woman had a wild ride after losing control of her car when she took her eyes off the road for a brief moment. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer said yesterday authorities received a call at around 2:35 a.m. Wednesday with regard to a single vehicle accident at the intersection of 180th and Redwood Avenue, or about a mile north of Clarinda. Deputies spoke with the driver, 37-year-old Neely Ray Eichemeyer of Clarinda, who told them that as she was plugging her cell phone into the charger, her 2006 Audi drifted onto the shoulder and across the roadway at the 180th intersection. The car crashed through a guard railing, became airborne for about 50 feet, hit the ground, and proceeded down a steep embankment. The vehicle then went front end first into a creek, overturned onto its top, and came to rest upside down with the front of the car partially submerged in the water. Eichemeyer said it took her some time to get out of the vehicle and to a residence to call for help. She said that she was treated for undisclosed injuries at the Clarinda Regional Health Center. The accident remains under investigation and charges were pending. The Page County Sheriff's Office was assisted at the scene by the Clarinda Fire Department and the Clarinda Ambulance Service. And state climatologist Harry Hilliker says that the month of July was unusually cool.
Not all the numbers are in yet, but it looks like probably finish up 5th coolest July on record in Iowa. And that's among the last 142 years of data, so 5th out of 142 is obviously pretty unusual.
In Atlantic, the average high for the month was 78, which was 8 degrees cooler than normal. Statewide, average temperatures in July were about 4.5 degrees cooler than normal.
Which isn't really a lot, I guess you'd say, when you first look at it, but during the summer months, we just typically don't really have that much variability from year to year as far as summer temperatures go, so that's pretty unusual. And oddly enough, though, just 5 years ago, 2009 ranks as our coolest July on record, so I only have to go back 5 years to find a cooler one than this one.
The average low in Atlantic in July was 59, and that was 4 degrees below normal. Hilliker says so far the summer of 2014 has been a rather mild one.
There's still quite a number of places over northern and eastern Iowa that have yet to reach 90 degrees this year. Still plenty of time for that to happen, but it hasn't occurred yet in places like Burlington and Cedar Rapids, Mason City, Dubuque, and probably a number of other places as well.
And after a fairly wet June, rainfall during the month of July was sporadic, and Hilliker says it's been relatively dry for the past 3 to 4 weeks.
I guess crops, for the most part, you know, progressing pretty well as far as seasonality, not really behind in development. So not any big negatives, I guess, on the cooler temperatures. I guess the bigger thing would be we'd just like to see some more rainfall than what we've been getting.
In Atlantic, we received just over 3/4 of an inch of rain in July at 77 1/100 of an inch, which was slightly more than 3.9 inches below normal. Far northern Iowa is quite a bit dry, according to Hilliker, who said the statewide average for rainfall is more than an inch below what's normal for July. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Betty Lorraine Anderson, age 83, of Harlan, died Tuesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. A massive Christian burial service for Betty Anderson will be today at 10:30 at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Ardeth Faye Barber, age 70, of Exira, died Monday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Ardeth Barber will be today at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. George L. Paris, age 75, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for George Paris will be today at 2 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. John Hines, age 33, of Rhodes and formerly of Stewart, died Monday. Funeral services for John Hines will be tonight at 7 o'clock at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Ross Bornholt, age 83, of Walnut, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Ross Bornholt will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Michael James Getz, age 82, of Harlan, died Thursday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. A massive Christian burial service for Mike Getz will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Linda Lou Flug, age 63, of Harlan, died Tuesday at home. Funeral services for Linda Flug will be held Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Clay Belcher, age 94, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab in Oneida. Celebration of life services for Clay Belcher will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Alvin Buck Armentrout, age 93, of Irwin, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Buck Armentrout will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Sherry Sue Winther Denny of Oneida died Thursday at her home. Services for Sherry Denny are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Oneida. And Frances Marnin, age 73, of Oneida, died Wednesday at home. Services for Frances Marnin are currently pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And that is a check of our news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.